it like this.
But Roanne can't figure out why patients aren't so enthusiastic when they fill out their surveys a few weeks later. Roanne scores poorly on questions like, was it noisy at night, and how well did your doctors and nurses communicate? This year, Roanne's losing $29,000 from Medicare. That's not a huge amount, but if Roanne doesn't get better, next year it could be a lot more. For NPR News, I'm Jordan Rau.
And Jordan Rau is with our partner, Kaiser Health News. Visit NPR's Shots blog to find out how your local hospital rates. It's NPR News.
You're listening to AM 580 WILL. I'm Jeff Bossert, in for Dave Dickey this morning with the pre-opening market report for this Tuesday. First, in a look at news, U.S. processors are bidding steady to slightly higher lower prices for hogs in the cash markets today, with some plants adequately supplied into next week. Bids range from flat with the previous prices paid to $1 per lower per 100 pounds, with most sales expected to take place 50 cents lower. Top prices at the terminal markets yesterday, they range from $45 to $50 per 100 weight on a live basis and between $54 and $64 per 100 weight on a carcass basis. A form of pricing that accounts for the meat yielded from the animal. Pork production remains significantly larger than this time last year as processors work through a wave of available animals, making it easier for individual plants to book hog weeks in advance. Asian stock markets mostly fell today as the prospect of higher U.S. interest rates dimmed the outlook for equities. Exceptionally strong U.S. jobs data on Friday and the higher inflation that will eventually bring raise the chances that the U.S. Fed will bring forward the timing of its first interest rate hike since the 2008 global financial crisis. Ultra-low interest rates and other monetary stimulus have been a boon for stock markets for several years as investors sought higher returns, but a return to more normal levels for interest rates in the world's biggest economy likely spells an end to the bull market for stocks. Also, China's inflation rebounded to above 1% in February, driven by a faster rise in food costs. Data today showed consumer prices rose 1.4% in February over a year earlier, up from January's 0.8% rate. Food prices rose 2.4%. Low inflation gives Beijing room to stimulate the growing economy, the slowing economy, rather, with less danger of triggering a politically dangerous rise in living costs. In a bit, we'll get a look at the markets with Don Hish at Bates Commodities and Normal. Right now, we'll look at weather for the growing areas with meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Spring-like rain was falling across the lower parts of the Midwest this morning as temperatures continue to warm across the region. Temperatures at this hour were running mostly in the 30s across a big part of the region, but 40-degree temperatures were common from southern portions of Missouri into the southern and central parts of Ohio and southward. Even parts of Kentucky were reporting temperatures above 50 degrees this morning. Rain and drizzle were common across much of this warmer biased area, with a broad region of fog and mild conditions occurring to the north of it from Iowa into parts of Michigan. These areas were reporting temperatures in the 30s this morning, but a lot of dense fog out there suggesting that air mass changes were taking place, and that's indeed what's going to continue to be the case for the next couple of days. Most of the Midwest will see good weather as we go forward through this next full week, but the lower parts of the region will be subjected to additional precipitation, and the ground is still saturated, in some cases still flooded from previous precipitation events that have impacted parts of the Ohio Basin and points southward. These areas will see additional precipitation as we go forward through the balance of this week. Today's moisture will disappear, for tomorrow should be relatively dry day, but will turn right around and bring precipitation back across the region as we move into the end of this week. Probably Thursday will be the next wetter day across the lower parts of the Ohio River Basin. Some of that precipitation will linger Friday and finally end on Saturday. So again, the Ohio River Basin will likely see the majority of precipitation, and amounts will be great enough to keep the ground saturated and induce some areas of standing water. Flooding is not likely to be a huge problem, except for areas south of the Ohio River in Kentucky, parts of the Tennessee River Basin, and portions of the Delta. As we go through the balance of this weekend and into next week, we should see drier weather evolve across a large part of the region, and most of that drier bias condition will help to bring on a firmer topsoil eventually. There will be no more heavy rain across the lower parts of the Midwest, and temperatures should be allowed to get a lot warmer, and as it warms up, we'll likely see higher evaporation rates and eventually an improved soil condition. This will also be true for portions of the Delta in the southeastern states, where field work is already a little overdue, and spring planting of corn and other crops will likely resume as we get into next week across the region from the lower Mississippi Basin into portions of the southeastern states. The temperatures specifically for our region are going to be warmer, biased for a while, but not as warm as areas off to the west. Hard red winter wheat country will see daily highs in the 60s and 70s. In fact, that kind of warmth will occur all the way northwestward into Montana. But for the Midwest, we'll see temperatures that are a little bit mixed. We'll see 40 and 50 degree highs this afternoon across a big part of the region, with some 60s likely in Nebraska, western Iowa, parts of Missouri, and eastern portions of Kansas. We'll expect the warmer air to stay mostly confined to western Corn Belt areas, but we'll see a continuation of 40 and 50 degree highs in the eastern Midwest. Every once in a while, a few lower 60s may occur in the southern parts of the region. Our lowest temperatures over these next few days will be no cooler than 20s and 30s across the north, and mostly 30s and 40s in southern areas. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see one or two 50 degree readings, again near the Ohio River endpoint southward. In South America, everything's status quo. Additional rain will occur in center west and center south Brazil, causing a little bit of delay in farming activity, and we'll likely see Argentina continuing its drying trend. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
And looking now at the opening numbers, winter wheat for March, no numbers there. Winter wheat for May, 526 and a quarter, down 4 and a quarter. March wheat, 49 and a quarter, down 5. May, 47, down 3. March corn, 381, down 2 and a quarter. May, 387 and a quarter, down 1 and a half. July, 395, down 1 and a quarter. September, 402 and a quarter, that's down 1 and a half. March beans, 983 and three quarters, down 4 and a half. May beans, 988 and three quarters, down 4 and a half. July, 994, down 4 and a half. August beans, 992, down 4 and three quarters. March bean meal, 342.80, down 110. March bean oil, 3069, down 19. May, 3074, down 26. April live cattle, 153.35, that's down 65. June live cattle, 145.40, down 75. March feeder cattle, 209.47.5, down 22.5. April, 207.52.5, down 87.5. April hogs, 65.55. That's down 52.5. May, 75.67.5. That's down 90. Joining me now on the phones to talk a bit about the markets, Don Hish at Bates Commodities in Normal. Good morning, Don.
Hey, good morning.
What are we seeing in some of the numbers we just ran through?
Well, we're looking at a little bit of weakness here. You pretty well called them off right. We're down like 1.5 cents, down in the corn, down 4 to 5 in the beans. Wheat's down 2.5 to 3. Looking back a little bit here, we go back to February in the nearby corn. We did see some higher prices, but that rally was not that robust. And actually, the side effect of that small rally is created a negative monthly cycle for March. We don't have any strong seasonal pressures to look at here, but I kind of suspect corn might be a little soft over the next few weeks. I don't want to get bearish here because the yearly cycle is bullish. And it's quite possible this recent October low might stand as the bottom of this decline from that 2012 peak. So I prefer to wait for a reason to buy. But as you watch the numbers unfold, there's one of these truly get-out-of-my-way confirmation numbers that stands at 420, which is a main halfway back from the May top of 522 in the corn.
Well, and of course, it is a WASDE reporting day. As of yesterday, not a lot expected to come out of that. What are you thinking?
No, that's right. The trade isn't looking for much there. The average trade guess for the carryout ending stocks for corn, the average trade is 1826. That compares to the USDA's last February report of 1827. Average trade guess for the beans, 376. And in February, the USDA had a 385. And for wheat, the average trade estimate 699, and the February report was 692. So, based on the numbers that you're looking at there, you wouldn't expect to deviate too far from where we were the last time. But that's also the kind of a situation that can lead to surprises.
Anything in the weather that you're looking at?
Well, you know, the weather, especially down south, there was just some input from that this morning that a lot of the farmers in parts of the southern central U.S. are going to plant corn and beans as much as 2 weeks later than usual because of flooding from the rains and melting snow. They had a storm there that dumped about 15 inches on some of their growing areas and all the way from Kentucky and Arkansas to southern Louisiana. So, you know, they're going to be behind behind the timetable here when it comes to getting their stuff in a timely fashion until all that gets settled away.
What else are you looking at in the next couple of weeks?
Well, I'm looking at the head and shoulders bottom formation. You're looking in the corn here. The right shoulder is a little bit iffy, but, you know, it's not a perfect formation, but it's not a perfect world, so it does still have that trend line. There is one thing that I think is interesting. If you draw a chart off of the November high in the May soybeans, you'll notice that we've come up to that trend line. There's a declining trend line. Three times. The next time is going to be the fourth time, and if we can pop above that and also take out that last high close around 1032, 1031 and three quarters, that would be a very bullish statement to make. So we're kind of keeping an eye on that. Also in the meal market, if you draw a horizontal line across in the May meal chart, 353, that is a key point. That has turned back all of the rallies that we've had since we've been, you know, in this sideways to lower market. So 353 is kind of a hallmark point of interest in the May meal.
All right. Thanks a lot, Don.
You bet. Bye.
All right. Don Hish at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We're looking for patchy fog this morning around Champaign-Urbana, a high of 52 degrees, a low of 38 in the region tonight. Tomorrow, a high again in the upper 50s. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. NPR News is coming up in just a moment, and another hour of Morning Edition. It's 9:01.